right. Welcome to another depth dive with us.
Yeah.
Where we like to just pick a source and kind of go deep on it, see what we can find.
Right.
And today we're going to be looking at something pretty profound, some pretty deep stuff. And that is the end times.
Oh, yeah.
The nature of immortality.
The big questions.
Yeah. Big questions. Mm-hmm. And you sent me some lecture notes from a lecture by Dr. Robert A. Peterson.
That's right.
Called Church and Last Things. and specifically, we're going to be looking at session 13, which dives into immortality, God, humans, and the manner of Christ's second coming.
That's right. So really, this lecture gets into Christian eschatology, which is that study of last things, you know, what's going to happen at the end.
Right.
It looks at, you know, life after death, the potential for us to have eternal existence, and kind of how Christians anticipate the return of Jesus.
Yeah. Have you ever just sat around and thought, like, what happens when we die?
Yeah.
Or when Jesus is coming back? Like, what's that going to look?
Yeah, these are big questions that people have pondered for millennia.
Yeah, so we're going to take Dr. Peterson's notes here and
try to unpack them a little bit.
Yeah, try to figure this out.
And make it accessible to you to help you understand some of these maybe more complex theological ideas.
Yeah. So where should we start with this?
Well, I think a good place to start would be with this concept of the already and the not yet.
Okay, already and not yet.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds like kind of a fundamental piece of the puzzle.
It is. It really is central to understanding the Christian view of history and God's plan as it unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the already signifies that when Jesus came the first time and the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, a lot of the Old Testament promises about the kingdom of God were set in motion.
Okay, so for the listener, that means the kingdom of God is here.
The kingdom of God is here, but not fully here.
Not fully.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jesus himself said, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Right.
So it's not something that we just have to wait for in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's impacting us now.
Yeah. Even amidst all the struggles that we see right now.
Absolutely. That's the tension we live in.
Yeah. So the Messiah has come.
Yes.
He's brought the beginning of salvation.
Yes.
What about this not yet aspect?
So the not yet acknowledges that those promises are not yet fully realized.
Okay.
So the kingdom of God is present in Jesus and through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't yet come in all of his fullness and his perfection.
Right. And we can see that.
Yeah.
We can see that, you know.
Look around. There's still sin.
Yeah.
There's still suffering and death. And the belief is that the full restoration and renewal of all things will happen when Christ returns.
At the second coming.
At the second coming. That's right.
And Dr. Peterson really emphasizes that this tension is on like almost every page of the New Testament.
Yeah, almost every single page.
Which kind of shows how important this is.
It really shows how important this is.
To this worldview.
It was how the early Christians understood their present reality.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking back at what Christ had done.
Right.
They were looking forward to the hope that they had.
In the future.
Yes. And so they saw themselves as living between the ages.
Okay.
This present age
and
the age to come.
Interesting. So for the listener out there trying to piece this together,
what
we're experiencing now is significant.
Yes.
But it's not the final chapter.
That's exactly right.
There's something more to come.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that leads us to this topic of death.
Yeah.
Which Dr. Peterson calls unnatural.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that might be kind of a different perspective for some.
Yeah. In Christian theology, death is not seen as part of God's original perfect design for humanity. It's something that entered into the picture as a consequence of sin.
Okay.
And so Dr. Peterson distinguishes between physical death.
Okay.
Which is the separation of the soul from the body.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual death.
Right.
Which is separation from God.
Okay. So there's two different types of death.
Two different types of death.
Got it.
And then he also talks about the second death.
Okay.
Which is the biblical term for eternal separation from God.
Which is also what we would probably call hell.
Exactly. Or hell, yeah.
Okay.
And this is a future reality for those who die without being in a relationship with God.
Right. So you've got these three types of death.
Mm-hmm.
Physical death, spiritual death.
Right.
And the second death or hell.
That's right.
And then he talks about an intermediate state.
Yeah.
So what happens between our physical death
and
this eventual resurrection?
Yeah. So this is a really interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Peterson explains that for believers, the Bible seems to indicate that there's an intermediate heaven, a state of being in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he points to passages like Philippians 1:23,
okay,
where Paul talks about his desire to depart and be with Christ,
right,
which he says is far better than his current life.
Right. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Exactly. And so he also points to Jesus' words to the thief on the cross,
yeah,
in Luke 23:43.
Mm-hmm.
Today you will be with me in paradise.
Right.
So that suggests this immediate presence with God after death for believers.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 Corinthians 5:8 also talks about being away from the body and at home with the Lord.
So in this intermediate state, there's no sin.
Yeah, there's no sin. You're in the direct presence of Christ.
Wow. So that's pretty good.
A good existence.
It's a pretty glorious thing to think about.
Yeah, so I could see how that might change someone's perspective on death.
Absolutely. Yeah, it can provide a lot of comfort.
Yeah, for those who are grieving,
yeah,
the loss of a loved one.
Absolutely.
But what about people who don't share these beliefs? Well, Dr. Peterson says that the Bible also indicates that there's an intermediate hell,
okay,
which is sometimes referred to as Hades.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16,
right,
to kind of illustrate this. Mm. And it's depicted as a place of torment.
Right.
And what's really important to note in that parable,
mm-hmm,
is that there's a great gulf fixed, right, between these two states.
There's no crossing over.
No crossing over. That's right. And I think it's interesting that Dr. Peterson emphasizes that even for believers,
mm-hmm,
this intermediate state isn't the ultimate hope.
That's a really crucial point. He, yeah, makes a really important distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, you know, you get interpretations that will focus on going to be with Jesus in heaven after death,
right,
as sort of like the pinnacle of hope.
Right.
But the primary Christian hope is the resurrection of the body.
Okay.
And eternal life on, yeah, the new earth,
mm-hmm,
in complete fellowship with God and all of his people.
So the intermediate state's important.
It's not about just floating around on clouds.
Exactly. It's not just about floating around on clouds.
Yeah.
That's kind of a caricature.
Right.
So you're seeing kind of this progression,
mm-hmm,
our current life.
Right.
Then there's this interim period after death.
Right.
And then there's that final resurrected state.
Okay. So we die.
Okay.
We go to this intermediate state.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we are resurrected.
That's right.
Got it.
Bodily resurrection.
Okay, so let's move into this whole discussion around immortality.
Yes.
It
gets tricky.
It gets tricky.
Yeah.
It gets a little...
It's a big topic.
Yeah. Dr. Peterson states the traditional Christian view.
Yeah.
That only God is inherently immortal.
That's right.
He references 1 Timothy 6.16.
Yeah.
Which describes God as the one who has immortality.
Mm-hmm.
So the traditional understanding is that while God possesses immortality, mm, as part of his very nature, he has granted immortality to all human beings.
Yeah, think of it like this. God's the battery.
Okay.
He's got the charge.
He's got all the juice.
All the juice, all the power.
Okay.
And he gives us charge.
Okay.
We don't have the battery within ourselves.
Right. You're not inherently yet or never
saved. Immortality. Or,
yeah, we're not the source of it.
Got it.
But he's given us that lasting existence.
Okay.
And this is what leads to various views within Christianity,
mm-hmm,
about the final fate of individuals.
Right.
So some people believe in annihilationism,
okay,
which Dr. Peterson says he doesn't agree with.
Right.
But it's worth discussing because a lot of people do hold this.
So what is annihilationism?
So annihilationism is the belief that after the final judgment,
mm-hmm,
the wicked will not experience eternal conscious suffering.
Okay.
But they will be destroyed,
okay,
or cease to exist.
They're just gone.
They're just gone, yeah.
Okay. And there's a number of arguments for this view.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that, you know, the Bible talks of fire.
Right.
And the imagery of fire.
Fire consumed.
Fire consumed.
Yeah.
So that suggests a kind of complete destruction.
Right.
Of the wicked by God's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Proponents of annihilationism will also point to the vocabulary of destruction.
Okay.
That's used in the Bible to describe the fate of the unrighteous.
All right. So we've got annihilationism.
Yeah.
He also mentions this concept of conditional immortality.
Yes.
Or conditionalism.
Yeah. Or conditionalism.
How is that different?
So that kind of builds on the idea that, okay, human souls are not naturally immortal.
Okay.
So instead of being inherently immortal, mm-hmm, immortality is seen as a gift,
okay,
that God gives.
Okay.
And he usually gives it to the righteous.
Okay.
Typically through faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so, according to this view, those who do not receive this gift,
yeah,
the unrighteous,
right,
ultimately be annihilated, mm, and cease to exist.
Okay, so the big difference here is, yeah, annihilationism.
they both believe in the ultimate destruction of the wicked.
Right. But with conditionalism.
But conditionalism emphasizes that immortality itself is conditional upon God's gift.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Peterson mentions Clark Pinnock, who is an evangelical theologian, who advocated for this view and suggested that, you know, there's a link between the traditional doctrine of hell and this Platonic idea of the natural immortality of the soul.
Right, because Plato is, you know.
Yeah, thousands of years
ago. People talking about this.
Yeah, so what's Dr. Peterson's response to all this?
Well, he has a couple of responses.
It sounds like he has some pretty strong convictions on
this. Oh, yeah. Very strong convictions.
Yeah. Okay.
So, first of all, he contends that the traditional understanding of hell as eternal conscious punishment is grounded in biblical teaching.
Right.
It's not based on philosophy.
It's not just based on Plato.
Not just Plato, yeah. Or Greek philosophy or anything like that.
Yeah. And he points to, you know, a long line of theologians throughout church history.
Yeah.
Figures like Augustine, Aquinas, Luther, Calvin, Edwards.
Big names.
Big names.
Yeah.
Who held this view.
Right.
And they were basing their conclusions on their reading of scripture.
Right.
That was their interpretation.
Yeah.
And then secondly, he clarifies that, you know, the traditional view doesn't necessarily claim that human souls possess inherent Platonic immortality.
Okay.
So rather the belief is that God, who alone is inherently immortal, grants immortality to all human beings, leading to eternal destinies, either eternal life or eternal punishment.
Right.
And then he also takes issue with this phrase, immortality of the soul.
Yeah. Why is he so concerned about that phrase?
Well, his concern is that it can be a little misleading.
Okay.
Because it might suggest that a disembodied eternal existence is the ultimate hope, rather than the resurrection of the body.
Right.
And so he argues that it's more accurate to speak of the immortality of whole persons, but, resurrected bodies. And he points to passages like 1 Corinthians 15.5354, which talks about the mortal putting on immortality. And he stresses that, you know, the belief in human immortality originates from the Bible's teaching on eternal destinies, such as Matthew 25.46.
Right.
Which speaks of eternal punishment and eternal life.
Right.
Using the same Greek word aionios, and even Augustine, way back around the year 400, recognized this connection.
Yeah.
So for Dr. Peterson, the emphasis should be on the eternal existence of the complete person.
Body and soul.
Body and soul.
Reunited.
Okay. Reunited, yeah.
Not just a soul floating around somewhere.
Not just the soul, yeah.
Okay. I think that helps clarify some things in that discussion.
Yeah, the complicated area.
Yeah, it's definitely a complicated topic.
Yeah.
All right, so let's shift gears here to something maybe a little more visually powerful.
Right.
And that's Christ's second coming.
Yeah.
Dr. Peterson outlines the manner of Christ's return as personal, visible, and glorious.
Yeah, the ABCs.
The ABCs.
Yeah, he calls them the ABCs.
Okay, very important.
Fundamental, that's right.
So first of all, he says it's going to be personal.
Yes, meaning that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will return.
Not just the Holy Spirit.
Not just the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah, he distinguishes this from the event of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came.
Yeah.
He references Acts 1.11, where the angels tell the disciples that Jesus, who has been taken up from them into heaven, will return in the same way they saw him go.
Right.
And he even clarifies that the ascension was a public event.
Oh, okay.
It was an integral part of Jesus' saving work.
It wasn't just...
not just a private return to the Father.
Him sneaking off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so personal, visible.
Visible. Yeah, this seems to address certain interpretations very directly.
Yeah, because there's some debate around, like, is it going to be a secret rapture?
Yeah, is it a secret coming?
Yeah.
So he points to Revelation 1.7, which says, every eye will see him.
Wow.
And Matthew 24.27, which likens his coming to lightning that flashes across the entire sky.
So everyone's going to see it.
Everyone will see it.
It's not going to be this secret thing.
It's not going to be secret.
Yeah.
It's going to be undeniable.
This is a huge event.
Huge.
Yeah, okay.
And then the third thing is glorious.
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 All right, so how is it glorious?
Well, he contrasts this with the humility of Jesus' first coming.
Right, born in a stable.
Born in a stable.
No place to lay his head.
No place to lay his head.
Yeah.
Ultimately facing crucifixion.
Yeah.
The second coming, however, will be characterized by overwhelming glory.
Okay.
He quotes Matthew 25.31, where the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels
right.
and sits on his glorious throne.
So this time, it's not a baby in a manger.
Not a baby.
It's
a king.
It's a king returning.
With all of his authority and his power.
Okay, and at this time...
The nations will be gathered before him for judgment.
Right.
And destinies will be determined based on their response to Christ during their lives.
And this is where he brings up that really interesting anecdote about John Wesley trying to calculate how long this judgment might take.
He did. He actually sat down and did the math.
Yeah. He was like crunching numbers.
Yeah. Based on population figures at his time, he estimated that it could take 100,000 years to judge everybody.
100,000 years?
100,000 years.
Wow.
So Dr. Peterson shares this not as a literal prediction.
Right.
But to illustrate the immense scale of the event.
Yeah.
And the reality that, you know, we don't know all the details.
Yeah. There's some things.
There's some things that are beyond a comprehension.
We just can't wrap our minds around.
You can't wrap our minds around.
Yeah.
But the certainty of Christ's personal, visible, and glorious return is what he emphasizes.
That's the main takeaway.
That's the main takeaway.
Okay. So let's kind of sum up here what we've talked about today in this deep dive into Dr. Peterson's lecture.
Yeah.
We've explored this idea of the already and the not yet of God's kingdom, the intermediate state for both believers and unbelievers after death.
Yeah.
This understanding that God grants immortality to humanity.
Even though there's debate about the nature of it.
Even though there's debate about the nature of it.
Yeah.
Right. And then finally, the crucial characteristics of Christ's second coming as personal.
Visible and glorious.
Yes.
So we've seen how these kind of interconnected ideas.
Yeah, it forms a pretty significant framework within Christian eschatology for understanding both our present experiences and our future hopes. Right. So, listener out there, considering all these different perspectives on the afterlife and the return of Christ, what is it that resonates with you most?
Yeah.
And what further questions does this spark about our ultimate destiny?
These are big questions.
These are huge questions.
The kind of questions that, you know, thinkers and believers have wrestled with for centuries.
Yeah.
And hopefully this deep dive has provided you with a clearer understanding of these vital aspects of the doctrine of last things.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us.
Yes.
For this depth dive.
Always a pleasure.
And we look forward to exploring more compelling topics with you in the future.
That's right. See you next time.
See ya.